Okay, I'm going to share a revelation with you that we've called The Cross Revives the Church. And the revelation was given to Eve Brast, and I'm going to share some revelation concerning it. And she received this on the 4th of this month. I dreamed that my son Elijah and I were making our way through crowds of frustrated people in an airport. And she has a note, John the Baptist ministry calling God's people to repentance. And I agree with that. And I would say, too, that without repentance, God's people cannot live in heavenly places above this world. Malachi 4 and 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." One of the problems that God's people can't get off the ground and are frustrated about it is the children don't know their fathers in the faith. All they have known is Babylonian false prophets and haven't grown up. Eve went on to say the people were angry and frustrated because an announcement had been made overhead that all flights were delayed for lack of fruit, I would say. And she went on to say, and no one knew why. Flights being delayed is representative of earthly bondages continuing. That was Eve's note, and I believe that. And I'd like to ask, why do earthly bondages continue? Well, most people don't even know their need. They don't know what is expected of them because they don't know their spiritual fathers. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So they can't get off the ground, and they're not partaking of their heavenly blessings, nor their position in the heavenlies. All of our needs are supplied in the heavenly place by abiding in Christ, who is the Word. And notice it said, every blessing in heavenly places in Christ, who is the Word. And when we do not depart from the Word, we are a heavenly creation and with heavenly benefits. And, of course, we follow the Holy Spirit as sons of God. Many children can't become sons because they don't study the Word for themselves, and they put their trust in people to study it for them, and this is a major catastrophe. They're not growing up. That's not their fathers. And, of course, we know that right behind John's repentance came Jesus, who was a type of the man-child, and he raised up church fathers. Paul called himself a church father, right? Because he sowed the seed of God. We can't sow any other seed but the seed of God if we're going to be the kind of father that the church needs. And Eve said she asked Father for a word concerning the announcement of the delayed flights in the airport and received Isaiah 1 and 25. "I will turn my hand on you and thoroughly purge away your dross, and I will take away all your tin. I will restore your judges as at the first," in other words, the fathers, right? "And your counselors," the fathers, "as at the beginning, and afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town." That's the heavenly Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven, being born from above, right? And Eve said, as we came up to the last terminal, and she puts a note that time is running out. Yep, the last terminal. I would say that's a good assumption there. An older woman with blonde hair that had streaks of gray throughout and a head covering came up to us and pleaded with us to come and help her daughter, who was being a rebellious teenager. She was concerned because her daughter would not obey her concerning staying home and helping her clean the house and her bedroom. And I suppose that this represents sanctification or holiness, same word, without which no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. And of course, a lot of the church is. They're running around having a good time, thinking they have nothing to do here on earth except please themselves. And they're missing out on what they're actually supposed to be doing, which is sanctification according to the Word of God. That means coming into obedience to the Word of God. She kept sneaking out of the house to hang out with her friends at the mall and go shopping. Sounds like Babylon, doesn't it? And she said, this woman represents the original church whose daughter has gone astray in, I would say, immature rebellion, right? And rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, right? And I believe there is one daughter in this dream because she represents the elect of God that will return to the true church. Yeah, I agree. And I think that the time is running out for the rebels to escape the power of this world before the judgments come. Romans 2 and 3 says, and reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things, which is sin, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, the rebellious teenager representing the modern day church is about to miss her plane to safety. How can you escape the judgment of God? And they are neglecting salvation because all they believe salvation is accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, which is not written in the Word at all. It says, repent and believe. Believe what? The New Testament. Believe it. Repent when you read it. Obey it. This is what's necessary. And, of course, this will put you in heavenly places and above this world. But they don't believe we are anybody or can be anybody. They don't believe in the manifestation of sonship in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So they really don't have a high expectation of themselves. And so because of that, they're not bearing fruit. Our fruit must be Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the Word of God, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Luke 21 and 34 says, but take heed to yourselves. Sounds serious. Lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. That's kind of what the teenager's up to, right? They're out doing their own thing and not really realizing what is important. Over indulging in the world, surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Yes, the things of the world are important to a rebellious teenager. And that day come on you suddenly as a snare. Well, it is coming. It is coming as a snare. And many of the people of God are late. Their plane is not taken off. They're still on the earth. Where the Bible warns us that the enemy can crush them. So on and so forth. Verse 35 says, for so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Okay, meaning not in heavenly places in Christ, where everything is supplied, even your safety. So those that dwell on the earth, the beast makes war with those that dwell on the earth, but he blasphemes those that dwell in the heavens. Why blaspheme them? Because he can't touch them. It's not because they're up there in some heaven of the apostate church. It's because they're in heavenly places by abiding in Christ. He can't touch them. Revelation 13. But watch ye at every season, making supplication. Every season, making supplication, that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Kind of like the man-child in Revelation 14. They're standing before the Son of Man, the 144. They have escaped. Not that they don't have a work to do on the earth, they do, but they're dwelling in heavenly places, so they're not going to be able to be touched by the beast, right? The beast can't go up on the road to holiness, remember? And the highway of holiness leads to Zion. The beast can't go there, the Bible says. That's God's ordination. He says that. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard. In other words, the apostles confirmed the word of the Lord. And we know that heavenly places is to be caught up to the throne of God's authority over this cursed world. Such powerful commands of authority God gave to His saints, and hardly anybody is observing them or doing them or acting in them. And so they have no power, no authority in this world. They think their power is a gun, maybe, and their authority is getting a lawyer or whatever, you know. But for goodness sake, far be it from us, right? So in Hebrews 2 and 4 says, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. For not unto angels did He subject the world to come, or the inhabited earth, is actually what it says there, whereof we speak. So, not unto angels did He subject the inhabited earth. Who did He give this to? Verse 6, but one has somewhere testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Just like Adam. Our Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, passed this on to his sons. The first Adam couldn't do that because he sinned. His servant you are whom you obey, the Bible says. So he lost that dominion that Jesus passed to us. And, of course, if we sin, we don't have that dominion to pass on either. We walk in sin. Thou didst put all things in subjection under His feet. And I would say that's to be in the heavens. It's to have everything worldly and of the curse under your feet. For in that He subjected all things unto Him, notice that. He subjected all things unto Him. This is man, the Son of Man. He left nothing that is not subject to Him. Wow. You see that? He left nothing that is not subject to Him. Didn't Jesus say, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them? And I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? And as the Father sent me, so send I you. And just, dominion. Dominion was given. But he bemoans, but now we see not yet all things subject to Him. And who fault is that? We can see God gave it. Whose fault is that? It's our fault. Jesus said that we have heavenly authority over this earth and its curse. Matthew 16 and 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Awesome. Revelation 3 and 21. He that overcometh, that means overcoming teenager rebellion and lusts, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Isn't that awesome? A throne is a place of dominion, saints. The dominion is what Jesus gave to his disciples. It's not somewhere in the sweet by and by. We need it here. We won't need it up there. We need it here. We need dominion. God's given it to his saints to exercise authority through prayer and by command, speaking to the mountain, so on and so forth. And Eve said, while the woman was lamenting to us about the daughter, I noticed an escalator off to the side of the terminal. And I noticed that there were many people packed onto the downside, in other words, the falling away, and only two or three individuals going up on the upside. And, of course, those ascending to the heavenly throne authority is what this represents. And she said, to the next level. Well, of course, we do grow in levels, right? And as we mature. And she said, only one out of four bore fruit in the parable of the sower. Yes, and the fruit is the fruit of Jesus Christ, his ministry, his holiness, his power, his name. We take on his name at baptism, his nature, his character, and his authority. That's what name means. We are called to heavenly places, which are in Christ. Much of the church is earthbound because they have not learned to abide in Christ, as he said. He said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Fruit of what? Fruit of Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can Christ in you do what he did in that first body of the Son of David? Well, of course he can. He's not limited by the body at all. And learning to abide in Christ is learning to abide in the Word. And yet, his people, they want to run off and play, but they don't want to get the Word in their hearts. And after they get it there, they sometimes don't use it and don't bear fruit. So, then the woman's voice came back into my focus and hearing as Elijah was agreeing that we would go with her to her house and help her daughter. Elijah still probably representing repentance, right? And we know that the bride will bring repentance to the rebellious church. But I believe now that it's not going to be before at least some judgment arrives. And actually, through the tribulation period is where the bride is going to finish that work. The scene changed as we found ourselves standing at the entrance into the daughter's bedroom from within the house. The mother was opening the door and gesturing for us to enter. Her daughter's room looked like a shop at the mall. Well, we know that love of earthly things stops one from receiving the love of the heavenly places, right? People get addicted to that by the flesh, and they don't have time for the other. She said there were shoe displays and mannequin torsos displaying risque teen clothing. She says many are in idolatry, and I might add lust with the world. Yeah, amen. Much of the church has never seen fit to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to receive the power of God. Much of the church believes all they have to do is go to church on Sunday and lead a, quote, good life, although there is none good but God. The mother explained that the daughter was hardly ever home, choosing the mall and her friends over her home life with the family. Of course, we know who the family is. It's the heavenly family, right? And the heavenly family is departed from for earthly pursuits. We all know people like that. It's not important. They don't really have a love for the brethren, to be around the brethren, an excitement to talk about the things of God and do the things of God. And it's just not there. They're just fulfilling their obligation by coming and hanging out for an hour at church or something. But so we know, all know people like that who are just full of excuses, but they'll find out too late that they didn't eat their word. You didn't eat their Wheaties, right? And, you know, the excuses in Jesus' parables. Oh, I got to go do this. You know, what about the marriage feast? Oh, but I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. I got to do the other. All worldly pursuits. And, of course, that's where the church is. And they're not bearing fruit. And he said if they don't, they'll be cast forth into outer darkness. She said, Elijah and I began to walk around the room to get an idea of what to say to the daughter and how to help her. I noticed a white door with glass panes in the top half of it on the other side of the room that led into the room from the outside. There was a short hall entryway between the room and the door. Okay? We might say that the door is Christ. You must have salvation or you don't have this at all. You have no entrance. I noticed some activity going on in the entryway. That's where a lot of people stop, is right there. They receive the Spirit of Christ. They don't want the soul of Christ. And if they don't bear any fruit there, they won't have the body of Christ. So, born again, spirit, soul, and body, right? So I noticed some activity going on in the entryway. David was busy doing something. Then Michael came up to us and began explaining about a project that David had been working on for a while for this girl, for this apostate church girl. David was working on this project. Michael showed me a few of the nails that he had helped gather for the project. He had quite a few gathered in a small silver metal bucket near the wall of the entryway. That's where you need to enter with your cross, right there. We know that the nails are to hold our flesh on our cross, right, so that we may have the resurrection life of Christ in heavenly places where the throne authority is, right? Amen. And she said, David and Michael are representative of the man-child ministers that have been being prepared and are preparing for this end-time harvest. Amen. Suddenly, a bunch of the local UBM brethren came into the room in the same direction that Elijah and I had entered. I saw that everybody was in cooperation with one another to transform the daughter's room. Well, the apostate church, represented by this daughter, will see a role model in the bride that they never did see in their leadership or in their church. And once you see what God can do, you begin to suspect what God wants, right? When they say you can't do this, you can't be that, but they see people actually doing it and being it, then they feel convicted. Watching their leadership in their church, there's no conviction there. Eve said, I saw Merlene consulting with the other ladies to alter all the clothing into more appropriate things for the daughter to wear. Well, yeah, that's because the mature don't flash the flesh, right? They crucify it. Modesty is a necessity in the kingdom and a command from God. The men were discussing how to move around some of the shelves. Too many of God's things are on the shelves, right? They're not being used. Most of the church has everything shelved. I mean, except sometimes they don't even have it on the shelf because they don't believe it. They just skip over it. Oh, that was for them back there, you know, not for us. Yet there are people out there doing these things. And bring in the appropriate furniture for the bedroom. And, of course, the appropriate furniture for the bedroom is to rest in faith in God's promises. The church doesn't know what faith is. They don't know that it's believing what you don't see with your eyes, but what you see by the eyes of faith. It is accepting what God says in His Word about you and about the authority that you have on this earth. And, of course, they've been inoculated against that by their false fathers. He says, being in one accord and one spirit with body ministry for our little sister. Well, amen. That's basically what that paragraph is saying, that the Lord is calling His bride together to raise up the little sister, as in Song of Solomon, right? So she's ready to meet the Lord. But also, I like Psalm 45 concerning this, especially 13 through 16. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. So here we have the bride in the palace, right? Her clothing is inwrought with gold, representing her works, right? She shall be led unto the king in broidered work. The virgins, her companions that follow her. Now most of the church doesn't know that the virgins are not the bride. They're attendants to the bride. They escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home in the regular marriage ceremony, which is, by the way, at the end of the tribulation period, because that's where everybody goes to the groom's home, right? The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So the bride's there, but her job is to bring her little sister, right? With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. Yeah, once they realize the opportunity and once they realize what God expects of them, because they have now heard from their New Testament fathers, which in this case is going to be the man-child ministry, then they're going to be excited about what God's going to do for them. They've been living under the burden and that God's just sitting up there watching us suffer, and when we get through, we go to heaven. You know, that's all they've been taught. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter into the king's palace. And now this is important. It says, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. So, these virgins, those that have now decided that they're not going to receive the seed of man anymore, and they're following the bride, the Lord says they won't be your father's children. They're going to be your children, talking to the bride, whom thou shalt make princes in all of the earth. Oh, praise God. He's got an awesome plan, and we've got no right to make a plan. We just need to find out about His, right? Because this is what's going to work. Nothing else has worked. The church has tried doing it without God or helping God out and been an utter failure for 2,000 years. So, get ready, saints. God's going to do something. But I'm afraid that much of the church is going to have to go through some tough stuff. And if they don't learn to live in heavenly places, they'll just get taken out. Because on the earth is not a safe place. The beast is going to make war with all of them that are upon the earth, Revelation 13 says. And, of course, that's for a reason. It's God's purpose. God's purpose is to get them in heavenly places. Motivate them to go to heavenly places. The cross is how to get to heavenly places. And that's what the beast does. He puts people on the cross. Well, then the door to the outside opened, and David stepped over the threshold carrying a large, lightweight, transparent cross over his right shoulder. And you know, the government shall be upon his shoulder, but it's because of the cross. Right? The Davids will first bear the cross to death to themselves so that they may give it to others. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, Jesus, as our master and our example, endured the cross so that he could bring the benefits of that to us. And, of course, that's true in a way for all of us, except we take up our cross and follow Jesus. We're not going to bear fruit either. He's bearing fruit because he bore his cross. And because he bore his cross, we can bear ours. Some people say, well, we don't have to bear it because he bore it. No, he made it possible for us to bear our cross. The old man has to die. Jesus said so. So we know this is true. Except you lose your life, you won't gain your life, right? Michael said expectedly, there it is, speaking about the cross, you know, that's the project. Well, I asked Father for a word concerning David and Michael and the project, and I received 1 Timothy 2:5, and we're going to read 5 and 6 here. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. The testimony to be born in its own times. The testimony? Yes. The witness, testimony, same word. He gave himself a ransom for all. You know, just as Jesus paid the price for us to be freed so that we also can pay the price to be useful in freeing others, in this way fruit's going to be born. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. Now, was he only talking about himself? No. He was talking about us taking up our cross and dying so we could bear fruit. You can't bear fruit without dying. People try it all the time. Heavenly responsibilities and heavenly gifts, but they don't want to do what's necessary to be useful in that, right? So, you know what a ransom is, right? It's paying a price so that somebody can have freedom. They've been held hostage to their sins. David knelt down and gently laid the cross down with the foot at the threshold and the head where the room began. In other words, remember there's a little hallway there, right? He reached over the cross and pulled the bucket of nails towards him as Michael went over and handed him a heavy hammer. As David pulled the nails out of the bucket, they began to light up a beautiful sky blue, like neon signs. He nailed them in groups of three at all four points on the cross, giving others an example of death to self, she says, and there were 12 blue nails representing discipleship, and also probably the people of God. Number 12 is the number of the elect, 12 apostles, 12 tribes, so on and so forth. So, and this cross bridges the gap so that those who are without can enter the house. Yes, the now holy house, and place of heavenly provision. No cross, no crown. Okay? So, I mean, if you're walking in all that you know, and you're looking for more, this is probably your position. Once David had finished, the daughter came home, and as she stood looking in amazement at the entryway, she couldn't believe that David had cared enough to do that for her. She was so touched that she had to come in and see the rest of the room. Well, the church's eyes will be opened through the crucifixion of the man-child, and they will enter into the kingdom life. They'll understand, because of the example of the man-child, that this is what Christ expects. He's not a respecter of persons. He won't do it for one and not another. Right? She was amazed at how we had all worked together to transform her room, and she really liked what she saw. Everything was so new to her as she walked around admiring the transformation. Well, the church would be in a whole new world, saints, if Jesus showed up, and that's what he's going to do in the man-child. It's a whole new world. You mean, Jesus, I'm supposed to be doing what you did? You mean to abide in you is to walk as you walked? I mean, it's written very plainly in the Bible, but most of the church doesn't believe it. And the people that they admire and worship and bow down to don't go there, so they think it's not possible. I went over to her as she stood in front of some shelves that the men had restored. I watched her pick up some sort of tool off the shelf, wondering what it was. It had a part of it that glowed like blue, like the nails in the cross. I began to explain to her what it was and how to use it. Her face was filled with wonder as I watched her transform before my eyes into a young boy with beautiful blonde hair. Blonde hair means submission to the sun, I believe. And Eve puts the transformation of our little sister into Christ-likeness through our witness and examples, showing her how to use the tools of the gospel in order to overcome. And then I woke up, she said. Well, amen. And I asked Father for a verse or text for this dream, and received by random John 20 and 19, context 19 through 23. John 20 and 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Now, of course, this was proofs of the crucifixion and resurrection, that he had been dead through crucifixion and now he was resurrected. This is the thing that's going to be manifest through the man-child too, and then through the disciples, once they get an example and teaching and true fathers. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. And I do believe they'll be glad when they see the Lord coming in his man-child. They'll be awed. Jesus therefore said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. So this is the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's what he's sending us to do. And that resurrection is who? That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the great power of God to lose our life, to gain Jesus' life and ministry. Amen. He can do through us what he did through the first body, except he can do a lot more of it because there are many more people. And of course, this time he's speaking to a people that is worldwide, not just in the Middle East. And 23 says, and whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Isn't God awesome? His plan is tremendous. You know, what would we do with this authority? What would you do with this authority if you had it right now? I'll make a suggestion. The Lord has told us, I believe he's shown us through types, through shadows, through prophecies and things, that he's going to give us 3.5 years of time before the beast makes war on the saints. Kind of like this revelation we were just talking about. And he wants to use us to do these things. I found this Bible code here. A man named Barry Rothman, I believe he's a Jew. And this Bible code says, Trump elected. And then out beside it, and actually Trump elected going down and then going across, president. And then out beside it, running parallel to Trump elected, is the word, surprise! Yeah. Well, you know, God's people can bring this to pass. You know, let me point out something to you. It's obvious to you, I'm sure, that this administration has got to cheat or they're going to lose. I mean, they've already lied about the polls. They've already got the media. They own the media. They better do what they tell them or they're fired. So they do it. Let me read this to you. This is from Gordon Bornman on the 25th. He said, early voting around the country is showing some amount of voting machine votes being changed from Trump to Clinton. Please check the summary of your vote at the end of the voting session before hitting the submit. Please report any votes being changed to the personnel at the polling place and make sure that they act on the report. They should do it with you looking. Also, on election day, pay no attention to the voting results throughout the day. It will be falsified to show Clinton is winning to try to discourage Trump voters. This is true. They do it all the time. The goal is to have people think Trump is losing so badly that there is no point in voting. That will be a lie. I suspect that there will be significant internet problems on election day. If so, it will be to prevent people from finding out the exit polling and other information so as to funnel all reporting through the mainstream TV media. This is complicit in the fraud. Okay. Praying that the plans of the devil will be overrun in this election. Well, amen. We are too. Can we do that? Can we put our faith together for such a thing? Well, of course we can. All things whatsoever. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So let's just pray a prayer here. We don't care how much they cheat. We only care what the end result is. They can't do anything that the Father can't fix and make right. We had a hard drive went out with a whole bunch of our audios on it. And Brad Moyers was editing those when the hard drive went out. So I talked to Brad, and he laid his hand on it. I think I was over the phone, if I remember correctly. And I just commanded it to be restored as he was there. And, well, lo and behold, it was not only restored, God edited the audios, taking out the little spaces and things, you know, and things that you do to make a nice, neat thing. God did all that. So if he did that, can he edit these election machines? Well, of course he can. So we don't care how much they cheat. We just mind that the end result is the end result, right? We can pray that the cheating is all revealed. We've prayed for everything else to be revealed, and guess what? It's all been revealed. God has heard the prayers of his people. He says, I'm getting some reports from people around the country like this. Hey, everyone, just a heads up, I had a family member who voted this morning, and she voted straight Republican. She checked before she submitted, and the vote had changed to Clinton. She reported it and made sure her vote was changed back. They commented that it had been happening. Well, of course, some people are not catching it because they're not even looking at this stuff. She is trying to get the word out and ask that we post it and share. Just want everyone's vote to be accurate and count. Check your vote before you submit. Note, this happened this morning in Arlington, Texas on Monday, October the 24th, which is also when I posted it. Okay, so I'm not pushing voting. I'm pushing doing what God tells you to do. Because it ain't the voting that's going to put Mr. Trump in there. It's going to be God. And you go to him by faith for whatever you want, right? So let's just agree on a prayer or two here, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, you fixed that hard drive, Lord. You edited it. You can do anything you want with these voting machines. I mean, Soros and people like that own the machines, which is crazy. But they don't have authority over that. You do. And we just read that you gave us authority over all the works of your hands, everything on this earth. So, Lord, help us to have faith to exercise this. First of all, we cast down this cheating. We command that it all be revealed, and that the people that are doing it go to jail. And number two, we command that this vote is clean and honest. And if it is, we know God is going to do what he said, and that is put Trump in there so that we do have 3.5 years without the beast making war with the saints. Beast Hillary is definitely going to make war with the saints. And so we just command that in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received it, and we shall have it. So we're believing we've received this, Lord. We're putting our faith together right now. Your people out there who have faith, we're believing that you're going to put Mr. Trump in there and that you're going to cause this to be a landslide. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we just receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, so you can go out and tell people. Confess, you know. Here's one. Texas voters say voting machines picked Clinton, Kane, with straight Republican ballot. In other words, they're going straight Republican all the way through, and it still picked them. Isn't that something? And here's a report here that's, I think, very interesting. Hillary wants a war. She wants a World War III here. And that's something else we can pray. Father, we pray that down in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it. We bind it from this earth. And all the demons that are out there trying to bring it to pass through Hillary or whoever else, Lord, we just cast that down. We forbid it in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. But anyway, they found out that it wasn't the Russians at all that was doing the hacking. It was the NSA employees that were revealing these things. And they said, from an insider from the NSA, that because Hillary had many of their officers killed because she used unsecure network and gave their real names, got them killed, these people were angry. And they didn't want somebody like this running the country. So, they're the ones that sent WikiLeaks the stuff. But that doesn't suit their political purpose. Their purpose is to be angry with Russia. They want a war with Russia. Can you imagine? These are crazy people. Don't let their finger get near the button. That's why you need to believe for Trump. And you saying he couldn't do it? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the Lord has shown us that he's a Cyrus, and if he's a Cyrus, he's going to be for the people of God, for the building of the kingdom, for the building of the city and the temple, spiritually speaking. And since he's going to be for these things, he's going to be for us. Is he a saint? No, he's not. But that don't make any difference. Cyrus wasn't either. God is almighty. And who would vote for Trump if he was a saint anyway? No. So anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We know that you're going to have mercy upon your people once more. In order for the man-child and the bride to get their ministry to the little sister accomplished. And Lord, we're just praising you and thanking you for a mighty, mighty miracle in the behalf of your people. So that the whole world, Lord, knows that you are God. You are God. Almighty God, who can resist you, right? So we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your kindness and mercy towards us. Lord, show us what else to pray. Lord, your people are out there listening, and they're understanding their authority. And Lord, show them what to pray and how to believe and how to confess you before men so that you can confess us before the Father. Lord, show us. Give us wisdom. Amen. You know, we ask the Lord every morning what to pray for, what to believe for. Ask Him to give us a verse concerning the things to come so that we know how to pray and how to mold things in the future and so on and so forth. And it's been very successful, praise be to God. So we just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your grace towards us. It's grace. It's none of our works, Lord. We just need to know what the next step is, Lord. That's all. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Father, please bless everybody that's joined us today and help them to retain and understand the things that we talked about today and walk in the steps of Jesus. Minister in His way, Lord. And Father, we also ask, Lord, that you give us the grace to walk by faith. It is your gift to give. And we ask you, Lord, to show us everything that you want us to believe for. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And Father, we ask too that you bless Michael Hare as he comes to share with the brethren. And thank you so much for doing that too, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have been revealing through WikiLeaks. And what's this other company? I forgot the name of it now that does the videos and stuff that's revealed all the voter fraud and all that other stuff. I forget now who it is. But, Lord, we ask you to protect these people. We ask you to put your hedge of protection around about them to protect them from these people who have tried to kill them. If they didn't both have dead man switches, they would have killed them. But they both let that be known, that if anything happens to me, the whole thing is going to be dumped out there on the Internet. And that's the thing that really saved them, besides your grace, Lord. So we just ask you to protect them. People shouldn't be bragging about what they're going to put up in the future. Lord, give them better wisdom than that. Let them just put it up there. And, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name that you're going to protect them. You're going to give them wisdom, Lord. And even though these people are not saints of God, you're using them as vessels of dishonor to do your work and to prepare things for your saints of God. So we just thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And bless Michael Hare, Lord, in Jesus' name.